Okay, well, we have a special speaker or group of speakers today, and they're the team that was in Cambodia. Bobby is going to sort of facilitate this, and they're going to share things about their trip and sort of what happened and also what God did in their lives. So I'll give it over to them.
Yes, so I did not go on the trip, so let's get that clear first. And yeah, so glad you guys are here, and I'm just going to ask them a couple questions as we go along. See, before we start, I'm going to add a question. They gave me questions to ask them, but I'm going to add a question right now. It's going to be real tough. Can you share your name?
Actually, before we go into the interview, I kind of want to say a couple of words. It was interesting, Bobby, that you mentioned the word raw, and Mike talked about being honest today, because that's exactly what I was thinking in my head. It's going to be raw today. We came at on January 7th, and this is the first time that we as a group have come together to debrief. This is sort of our debrief, and you get to be part of that. And part of that is, like, the first 2 weeks, Mike was sick. And then for the last 2.5 weeks, I've been sick. I expect that when we came back from Cambodia, that we would be hit real hard. But I didn't realize it would be this hard, physically and emotionally and spiritually. So that's just sort of a little context to what we're sharing today. So we are kind of unprepared as a group. And I remember something I think Terry said years ago, Terry Stauffer. I think it was Terry who said that when we're a threat to the enemy, he attacks. And I feel that we are targeted. And I'm not surprised that Mike and Chelsea have been feeling that way. So I just wanted to share that bit before we get into the talking about the trip.
We're all crying already. This is awful.
The only names.
I'm Michael Wilkinson. This is Tan Tazumi. Chelsea Wilkinson. And Char Char. Karis.
Karis is her real name, then. If you don't know her, maybe you should say that. God, I thank you for these four people, for their vulnerability to come up here and share the awesome things that you did with them. I pray for courage for them to speak honestly, to be bold, God, because, that's what you've given them, a spirit of boldness and courage. And I just pray that that would break through any fears they have, any attacks they have, so that they can, just move forward in what you've called them to do and the awesome things that you have given them. I pray that they would know that they're not alone in this. You are there with them, and we are here supporting them. So I just pray that they would be able to, just move forward in their honesty and their courage in their answers. And I pray against the enemy that it would just block whatever's going on there. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Are you guys ready? Cool. What were your expectations for the trip? What did you hope to accomplish?
I made these questions, and now I don't even have answers for them. Oh, yeah, we'll have pictures just going in the background as well. So what were my expectations? I didn't actually have any idea, to be honest. I had a hard time mentally preparing for the trip. We were really busy leading up to it. My father had me working until midnight every night. No, I'm just kidding. No, we were really busy, and it was hard to mentally prepare. But as far as what I was hoping for was, I guess, spiritual renewal in my life. I think, like, I've been a Christian my whole life, grown up in a Christian home, and it's been wonderful. But sometimes, up and down, and I've been down for a while, I guess, and life's just been feeling kind of rough. So I know that the mission field's all around us here, but sometimes you need a good kick in the pants. And I guess that's what I was hoping for on this trip, was for my world to be turned upside down.
Mine actually was really simple, and I shared that when we did the fundraising and when we shared at church before we left, was because of my own experience as a child, meeting missionaries and being taken out of refugee camps and being given opportunities just to be a kid. And my hope was that we would be able to do the same for kids in Cambodia, be able to take them out of the slums, out of their villages, and just have fun. I didn't expect us to, do any Bible teaching or anything like that. I just wanted to bring some joy and some laughter to the kids that we met in Cambodia.
Well, I live in the same house as Mike, so I was kind of also surrounded by chaos leading up to the trip. So, yeah, I didn't really, like, preparing mentally was hard for me. I had no idea what to expect either because I'd never been to Vietnam or Cambodia. And I was really looking forward to it, but, yeah, I didn't know what to expect. All I really was hoping, too, was that I would get a good kick in the pants as well and that I would start, you know, like, I would wake up a little bit, because sometimes you get so stuck in our mundane lives and just get into routine, and it's hard to look at the simple things as like, an opportunity from God. And, you know, like, this person could be needing something, but, you know, I'm just too self-absorbed, I can't notice. When you go and you are thrown into a completely different place where, you know, like, just the way of life is different, you tend to notice things a little bit more, and you notice that I can make a difference where I am. And so, yeah, I was really hoping to just be woken up a little bit, too. I wrote some things down, but I didn't even look at it. Yeah, I wanted my passion to be stirred up a little bit.
For me, it was kind of the same as the rest of them, like not having a lot of time to mentally prepare for the trip, so going into it, I was just kind of like, I got this. Like, I'll be fine. Like, I don't know. I didn't know what to expect. So when we did go on the trip, and like a lot happened during those 3 weeks, so I didn't really fully process, I guess, like, because this is our first time debriefing, right, in a while. So, what I was hoping for was just to, I was just really excited to meet the kids and stuff and to spend time with this group. I also got to bring my best friend Jasmine on the trip too, so that was a hope that had come true in our grade 12 year, just getting to travel together. So, yeah.
We were too busy raising funds to prepare mentally, right?
Cool. For those that might not know about the trip, I'm just going to give some quick contextual background. So they did go to Cambodia, Vietnam. They were gone for about a month, and the majority of their ministry, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong because I wasn't there, but they did two main things. They worked with an organization called We Love Kids that helps teach and have orphans and with kids, and that was in Cambodia. That's the Cambodia. And in Vietnam, they went and they handed out wheelchairs to people that needed wheelchairs. Is that kind of a quick synopsis of what you did? Okay, so yeah, just so for those that might not know anything about where they went, that's kind of, if you have more questions, ask them later. Second question, what was one experience that greatly impacted you?
All right, I'm just going to read what I wrote down this morning so I don't ramble. There were too many experiences. It was really hard to pick one. And I don't know, I might share more than one. But I guess the first one that came to mind was, I'll just read it here. The first experience was the first children's camp that we put on. We picked up the children from their homes, which was really cool, around 20 of them in total, and took them to a park that we had rented. To us, this place was beaten down, neglected, a neglected hole in the wall. Once upon a time, it had bumper cars, swimming pools, and petting zoos. However, it was nearly abandoned and grown right over. But to these kids, this place was Disneyland. The moment they got out of the van, they were screaming at the top of their lungs and running full speed through the overgrown grass. I was actually worried we were going to lose them. When you do children's ministries here, there's so many rules and regulations, and there it's just chaos. And I'm like, oh, wait, how many kids did we have again? Like, we should do a head count every 10 minutes to make sure they're not, I don't know, gone. Yeah, they could hardly contain themselves. They were so excited. So we just started to chase them around and pick them up. And even though there were no lines of verbal communication, it felt like the lines of communication were wide open. So in the past, when I've looked at this kind of ministry and like just going and playing with kids and leaving, I thought, well, what's the point in that? Like, is there really a lasting effect? And that's kind of what I was thinking while I was there. But then during that day, God kind of reminded me of actually Tan's story of how she was in a refugee camp. And the missionary named Joni, who we actually met there, she came and just spent time with her. And how that really changed the course of your life. And so I was just being reminded with this. Okay. God reminded me of Tan's story. So every child there was so beautiful. However, there was one boy that changed the course of my life. His name is Yu. This boy is around 12 years old. He is a Vietnamese Cambodian with not a whole lot of opportunity ahead of him. He's from the poorest parts of Kretche and currently is not being educated. Boys like this are subject to hard labor with low pay, and their purpose is to support their families. Once they grow up and become adults, it's too late to get an education, and thus the cycle of poverty continues. However, I'd never met a child with more love than you. He still had hope, joy, and compassion in his eyes. In his 12 years of life, he had most definitely overcome more obstacles than I have in my 26 years, but I saw strength in him. I truly had nothing to offer this boy. But for whatever reason, he gravitated towards me. And he never left my side, and I never wanted to leave his side. As the time was moving on, and we were nearly to the point of saying our goodbyes, my heart was broken that I may never see this child again. I don't do it a lot. Our last interaction was him taking off my name tag and putting it on him, and then taking off his name tag and putting it on me. This was by far the most impactful interaction I've ever had in my life. I will never forget this boy, and I pray that I will see him again.
As Mike shared, there were many, many highlights for us. But, yeah, that first day was pretty magical. When the kids got off the bus and started running, Mike started running right with them. And I was like, oh, okay, good. We have Mike running after them. And then later on, Chelsea. And so the two of them were just running around this property with these kids. And I think that was probably the first highlight for me, was watching the interaction of my team, and in particular Mike with the boys, and playing with the boys. And he had them, like, on, you know, on his head, on his shoulders. And then the other leaders, the local leaders, had kids on his shoulders, and they were running around like crazy, and it was beautiful to watch. I don't know if there was a picture of a little girl in an orange shirt in a bus with Karis and another little girl. I know her story. Her name is Bopa. She lives in the slums with her grandmother. Her mother is a prostitute, and she was left along with her other siblings and cousins with her grandma. Bopa had cancer 4 years ago, and Grandma didn't have money to take her to the doctor. Eventually, We Love Kids took her to the doctor and got her medications, very expensive medications, but they managed to get her some. And when she went to the doctor, probably about 2 years ago, and they told her she had about 6 months, and she's still living today. Lots of prayers and... But it's not only that. She was sexually abused after she came back from treatment, after having surgery. I think she's about 12. She's lived through a lot. And so when we picked her up, we made a point to pick her up. She was the last child we picked up, and she lived a bit out of the way. She came into the bus, she forced her smile, but when I looked at her, I just thought, that's the embodiment of sadness and weakness. She was so sad and so weak, and in my head I thought, okay, note to self, when we get to the park, find a shady spot for her to sit, because she probably won't be able to do much. Maybe she'll do origami or do beatings and that, but she won't be able to do much. And already I was blubbering because I was just thinking about how sad it was for her. Well, about 20 minutes after we got there, I noticed she was running around with Chelsea, and I didn't know that they had already taken a bunch of pictures. But when we were on the bus and Joni snapped a picture of her with her bright smile, and it's like the biggest smile I've ever seen on a child is from ear to ear. And she was full of life and energy and joy. And for me, at the end of that day, when I looked at the picture and looked at her, when I saw her, and I thought, if for nothing else on this trip, nothing else we've done, that we've given her this day, allow her to be a child and to have the smiles and the giggles and the laugh that she had with Chelsea and the other leaders and all the other kids, that was worth it. It was worth months of work, worth all the fundraising, worth everything that we did. So I think for me, that really impacted me. And
I'm already stuffed up, so this is really, really stuffed up now. Okay. Well, when I was in university, I got the chance to work alongside an organization called Kids International Development Society, and they are from Cambodia as well, a different part, but working with a very similar group, just people who are impoverished living in Siem Reap. And so my job was to get people to fundraisers. I plan the fundraisers. I'm not really good at that, Tan knows now. I'm not organized, so that was a real challenge. But part of my job was also to educate myself on Cambodia and the history and all of that. So, and I was also involved in trying to get others involved in learning about Cambodia so that they might jump on board with fundraising for their needs, because the history was just, is just truly horrific. So yeah, it's one thing to be, to read it in a book, and it's a complete other thing to actually be there and to see the devastation, to be standing in the university where it all began, the university where Pol Pot imprisoned the students. They tortured him, they tortured the students and killed them for the reason of purifying Cambodia of its French influence, which was pretty much just the educated. Anybody who was educated was killed in brutal ways and super inhumane. Anyways, they wanted to bring it back to their agricultural roots. This was just happening in the 50s, so a lot of the elderly people there had lived through that, and you could see in their eyes there was a very like heavy burden on them. And so seeing the effects of an entire population that had been wiped out of nearly all their educated was devastating. Most elders didn't see the value of education, so the only way for a girl to make money was through prostitution or being sold to a man, which was Bopa's situation. Many of the girls we met were at high risk for prostitution because they weren't in school. If a child is in school, they are protected. They are much less likely to be trafficked because they are growing in value to society by gaining an education. This is what impacted me. This is where I'm passionate, because We Love Kids is making a difference. Through child sponsorship, they are sending these kids to school and giving them a future. Every child should have that right. And because kids are the future, and if, you know, they're not getting the education, then what's going to happen to Cambodia? So that really impacted me, and I just wanted to see all those kids going to school. It was really neat to see that some of them were wearing uniforms, which meant they were in school. They just took the day off to spend time with us, which is very special. But, yeah, that was what impacted me the most.
On the second day camp in Krache, I was actually very ill, so I stayed in our little hotel and watched movies all day while they worked hard working with youth. And that was the day that they worked with kids around my age, so teenagers up to like 19 and stuff. So I was pretty bummed that I didn't get to hang out with them and stuff. Like, the camps were probably one of the best parts about the trip, I think we can all agree. But then my mom walks in, and it's the evening, and she's like, "Karis, get up! There's something out there, you gotta go see it." And basically, well, this is what my mom told me. I don't know if she made it up or not, but like all the youth had come to the waterfront in front of the hotel that we were staying at because supposedly they wanted to come see me and stuff because I didn't get to make it. So that was really cool, and my mom let them know that I was really sick and that's why I couldn't come. So before I left, I was like, "Oh my gosh, they better not pray for me." I really didn't want that attention. And then I get out there, and they're all playing games. Like Jasmine, Mike, and Chelsea are running around playing little group games. And then they see me, and like a circle forms around me, and they start praying for me because I'm a little bit sick. So that was super special, just the fact that they were willing to come and visit, and we played a lot of games after that, but just dedicated they were, I guess, to God, and how, like a group prayer meant so much to them, and I felt better afterwards, which is awesome. Yeah, so that was really special. Like, I've been used to, like, being at the Vineyard, like, we pray about everything. So, like, I wasn't, like, it wasn't a new thing, but it was just cool to see, like, especially because of the language barriers and the cultural barriers, they were still just teenagers like me, youth who just wanted to pray for someone. So that was really special for me.
If I could just add too, on that second day, another highlight for me was watching Mike and the two young men. They're actually in their 20s, Comcom and Pisette, playing the guitar and singing together. And they asked Mike to teach them one of the songs, and it was just really neat. The second day it was very different. It was more of a cultural sharing between the youth, and singing on the bus, they sang in Khmer, and we sang in English, but the same phrases, and that was really cool, watching these guys just singing and praising God together, despite the language barrier, and just being there. It's like they look like three worship leaders just having a blast. That was really cool to watch.
All right, so how has this trip impacted your day-to-day life?
Once again, I'll just read it because I'm not good like these guys at speaking. Day-to-day life can feel kind of mundane sometimes, for me at least. I'm speaking for myself here. We deal with a lot of difficult people every day. And it has been and still is very difficult for me to look past any sort of frustrating conversation or argument or disagreement. However, I feel as if God has opened my eyes to this experience. I feel convicted on a day-to-day basis, more so than I ever had before. I believe that it is God showing me my faults and the things he wants to change in me, so I can love and show his love more. Chelsea and I have a quote on the background of our computer. It reads, "Nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could only do a little." This serves as a constant reminder to us that, first of all, on our own, we really have nothing to offer, which, as depressing as that sounds, I find great encouragement in that. For me, it simplifies things and brings me back to the basics, which is found in Matthew chapter 22. "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets.'" God has called us to love. This is something I've known my whole life, but I've never truly lived it or had a hard time living it. This trip was built off of the basis of loving people. We stepped out of our everyday lives, put aside our distractions, and focused on love. I've had people say to me that there is purpose here and that I need to love those around me here. I completely agree. I believe that this experience has brought me back to the basics and opened my eyes to the opportunities in my everyday life.
It's still hard, as you can see, for us to adjust back to life here. And in many ways, I feel quite discouraged, just by the attack, by the spiritual attack that we've experienced. And I thought, while I was sitting there worshiping, I thought, oh, I haven't even sent out a prayer request to ask for prayer for my. That's just how distracted I've been and feeling really down. And before the trip, I felt like there was nothing we couldn't do as a group. We raised like $11,000 in five or six months. And I was really excited and, oh, we can do more. it's unfortunate because right now I feel pretty helpless and a little hopeless and kind of like, what can I do? You know, I pray and I hope that you'll continue to pray for us that we don't stay in this spot. But on a more of a practical side of things, the second day that we spend with the youth, there were 25 of the youth, and then there are 7 of us and a couple other leaders. So approximately 35 of us. And we took them out for dinner, and we had a fantastic dinner for $45, $60. So for me, coming back here, I think I was fairly frugal to begin with. But coming back here thinking about, oh, a pair of shoes for $150 or like a jacket for me it's like, oh, they're just shoes. They're just, it's like you can do so much with $60 or $100 over there. And you can change people's lives. So for me, at that level, it's sort of changed how I live my life. And not only that, but just not sweating the small stuff at home and with my kids and different things, because we all have first world problems in the way that we live here. But thinking about the kids just put things in perspective for me in that way.
For me, what was the question? Oh, yes. How did it change my day-to-day life? Well, I heard once that what you are passionate about should be part of your every decision. And that could go down to, like, it should get involved in all of your conversations. It should affect what you read and what you watch. It should affect where you shop and what kind of coffee you buy, even. I value education and the justice of human rights, and I get the chance to work at a place where I can share Jesus with the kids that I work with. I work at Christian Life Children's Center, and I get to create my own program, which is awesome. So I get to work with the after-school kids, and they're 8 years old, and they're at a really good place where they are like sponges, and they have their eyes are opening up a little bit, and they can see a little past themselves even. And I really want to be able to share my passion of, you know, human rights and justice for all people with these kids. So I've been involving them in as much as I possibly can with our trip to Cambodia and in Vietnam, and before, like leading up to the trip, I got them to bring in some toys. And I didn't get a whole lot of response, but I'm working on it. So I got some toys, and actually all the kids that we got to give wheelchairs to ended up getting a toy. So I got pictures of all the kids that got the toys that the kids had given. And then I brought those pictures back, and I got to show the kids the specific toy, because I could remember, okay, this toy is who, like, Sophia gave. Okay, so then I give this picture to Sophia, and she sees the kid that got the toy that she gave. And it was a really neat connection, because suddenly, like, their eyes light up, and they're like, oh, that was the toy that I gave. It was in my house. I played with that when I was little. And so that was really, really neat to see that connection for the kids. And so what I want to do in coming back here is continue that, and I have plans to continue, like, raising awareness in my classroom with the kids through auctioning off our artwork to give to We Love Kids. Hopefully that all works out. But, just trying to find new creative ways to involve the kids and expand their worldview a little bit. I don't even know where to. I had some really good things to say, but that's about it.
Before going to the trip, I just got really stressed out and overwhelmed because it's my grade 12 year, so there's university applications, scholarships, like all these deadlines, and I had copious amounts of lists of things to do, and just was super, not cranky, But I was just kind of like, I was like, oh, I have to do this, I have to get this. I'm like, oh, like, what is, like, the world is happening to me and stuff. And then going on the trip and put a lot of things into perspective. So just kind of shifting that I have to do this mindset to I get to do this. I get to go to school for free. Like, I get to go to university. I have really awesome food here, and like, I get to go to church, like Sam said, like, without being prosecuted. Whereas over there, Christians are the minority, and they're kind of set aside and stuff. So that was huge for me. But not gonna lie, the first week I came back, I caught myself complaining about the stupidest things. I took comfort in knowing that it's more of an everyday working on, like, a thing to work on for me. So, just kind of showed me the things that I need to work on in my life, especially before I move out. There's this poem that I watched recently, a spoken word poem that I've known for a while, and one of the verses says, I don't know much, but I do know this. I know that heaven is full of music. I know that God listens to my heartbeat on his iPod. It reminds him that we still have work to do. So, and that just kind of means after our trip, we didn't need to have all these sudden realizations and be these amazing people that we want to be or hope to be. It's more of an everyday just, okay, we did this, and now we work on ourselves, and we work towards what we want to do in the future with We Love Kids and with Chelsea and her daycare, in our work and in our schools. And just it kind of revealed, well, it helped, the trip helped me, even though it was hard, just kind of coping with the fact that we were leaving and we felt like we were never going to see those kids again. And how short our time was there, just to take comfort in knowing that, we did something really cool, and they're gonna remember it for the rest of their lives, and we're gonna remember them for the rest of our lives. I think they had much more of an impact on us than we did on them.
I have more question for you guys. It should be pretty simple. How many weeks or months or years of training did you do for this trip?
None.
Okay. I think that's really cool. And something that Mike said really resonated with me, and I have a mic, so I'm going to share it. They all kind of touched on it, is that they went away from their day-to-day life, they got away from the distractions, and they chose to love people. They didn't take years, months, weeks to train to do that. They just did it. And that's something that's true in all of our lives, but we have to choose to get away from our normal schedule or normal whatever. For me, it's picking up my phone whenever there's a free second rather than looking around or social media or your favorite TV show or just noticing your neighbor who might be going through a really difficult time. So I think that's something that resonated with me, and I wanted to share that. We do have a little bit of time for a couple questions. Does anyone have any questions for these people?
So I have two questions. I'm probably the loud one, but one is, can you tell us how many wheelchairs did you guys deliver, and how did that go in Vietnam?
We delivered about 200 wheelchairs, and that was an amazing part of the trip as well. That was sort of a icing on the cake for us. That was not the reason we went, but God just worked things out for, that was like a gift for us to be part of that. And that was cool too, watching Mike on his hands and knees and building the chairs, and it's gotten so good. I think the fellow who's doing that ministry in Guatemala wants to recruit him. Says, come work for us. That's with Hope Haven International. That was really cool.
I like to talk about that too. Yeah, that was, it was, I honestly didn't even really know what we were doing. Like, what is this Hope Haven thing? What are these wheelchairs? We're just gonna give out these wheelchairs? And it seemed odd to me, but when we were actually doing it, it was the coolest thing. We had like a big semi-truck trailer pretty much full of just wheelchair parts and pieces, and we were actually able to custom build every wheelchair to fit each patient's needs, because there were some very obscure birth defects, a lot of it from Agent Orange from the Vietnamese War. But that was so cool, and they have recruited me, actually. And Chelsea and I plan on going back in June to Vietnam, planning right now. But yeah, that was really cool. And just a little about Hope Haven, they're actually a not-for-profit company that employs disabled people to build wheelchairs to give away to disabled people. And they currently are giving wheelchairs away in, I think, 100 different countries or something. They're incredible.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask if you witnessed any healing emotionally, spiritually, physically?
We didn't do like prayer ministry. That was not the purpose why we were there. Like I said, we were there just to spend time and to work with kids. But I think the impact that we had on the kids, I think we witnessed us with BOPA and some of the young people, was pretty amazing. I think I feel like we got to experience our mission as a church to make God's unsurpassable love known to other people. And on our last day in Cambodia, this 19-year-old boy who had been with us for about 5 days, his name is Rata, on the last day, I told my team not to make promises because I knew that they'd want to know when we'd come back. And so we kind of avoided talking about that. But at breakfast, he asked us 3 times, when are you coming back? We're like, oh, we're not sure. When are you coming back? So we never really gave quite a clear answer, but as we were getting on the bus, he pulled the local evangelist or church leader over with me to interpret for him. And so he said, I'd like to talk to Tan and tell her these things. And so he said, I will wait and wait and wait until you come back. That's the impact, I think, emotionally and spiritually. I think we brought something to them, and he said that it's giving him hope. He's 19, he left school years ago, and now he's going back to school, and We Love Kids is supporting him to go back to school. And he said, I will learn more English, so the next time you come back, we can communicate. So those are more some of the emotional impact that we saw. Oh my goodness, this, I think he was like 9 years old. He was a wheelchair recipient. And Chelsea and I and some of the young ladies were doing interviews, and I did the interview in Vietnamese, and then I would say it in English, and they'd write it in English so that the physiotherapist would know the story of the child and the treatment, so that they can look at the child and what their treatment has been and have the right wheelchair for them. And so when he came with his grandfather, and his grandfather said to me, he teared up when he found out he was coming here to get a wheelchair. And so I asked him the story, about him. He didn't say anything to me, but his grandfather said that he went to kindergarten, for a bit, and when he was in kindergarten, none of the kids would come and play with him. Nobody would talk with him because he couldn't walk. It was cruel. And he's he's got quite a sensitive heart. And so as he, when I heard grandpa, his grandpa share that, I reached out my hand to him and I just spoke some truth to him. And he's a real stoic kind of kid and he's very sensitive. He tried to hold it in. He was like trying so hard to hold it in. And I just said, you know, you have a loving family. You have a wonderful grandfather, your parents, your little sister, because I heard his story. And as I was talking and speaking these positive things to him, his tears, he just like, and then I lost it. And we were both like a mess of a puddle. And he cried and cried and cried. And I gave him a couple of teddy bears, one for him and one for his little sister. And I just thought that was, God wanted him to hear, you know, what a wonderful person he is, and that there's hope for him, and that he can do anything he wants to in the future. So I hope that resonated with him as it did for me when I was a child, when others spoke things like that into my life. So that was a pretty neat moment for me.
We're getting low on time, so I'm just going to actually say a prayer. So for those that have questions, you're going to have to find these guys afterwards. I'm going to say a prayer, and then I'm going to invite these guys up to finish with one song. But God, thank you so much for these people who are willing not only to go across the world to show your love, as is in our vision of the church, God, but they're willing to share their experiences here, even though that leaves them open and vulnerable, God. But I pray that you would strengthen them, and as you strengthen them, that we who have heard their experiences and heard the awesome things that you've done would be impacted by it, so that we too can go out and just get rid of the distractions in our lives, so that we can do what you've called us to do, which isn't much, it's just to love, which can make a huge impact, God. So I pray for each of us today that we can go out and remember just to love those who are in front of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Sorry, I forgot to say that. Oh, I do want to say something about this family. I forgot to say the little boy in the blue shirt. He never went back to school. He's 9 or 10 now, but he never went back to school. It was so painful for him. It was so painful for his family to watch him be treated that way and bullied. It was a common story for a lot of the kids, but for him, it just it was a huge impact. I'd love it if you would pray for Seha and his family. Seha is 29. He's a young pastor. He's a full-time pastor. He goes and evangelizes and share God's love in many villages. And he also does farming. Those are his two boys, 2 years old and four, I think, 2 and 4, and his wife in the back. And there's a youth with him. Amazing, amazing young man. And just please lift them up and pray for him. He wants so much to do farming and to support his family and his community, in particular the Christian community in the villages, but money is hard to come by in Cambodia. So I would love to support, to find ways to support them, but right now I feel so that, anyways, I'm sure God, with God, all things are possible, so.
Okay, just before they're going to do that, let's give them a round of applause. Okay, and I thought what we might do just is to pray, because we always pray at the Vineyard. That's what we heard here. Okay. But why don't we pray for them and just and then we're going to just really kick off or end with the song. We'll all stand up for that. Okay, so. But Father, we thank you for the team. We thank you for just their willingness to go. And we thank you, God, for what you did in their lives. But we also know that you did something amazing in each one of those kids' lives. And we pray, Lord, that the things that were sown into those kids would be eternal. The things that were sown into the team would be eternal, Lord. But Lord, you do things in our hearts and lives that change us, that transform us more and more into your likeness. And what is so amazing is that that stuff carries with us all the way through eternity. What they did on this trip, they will remember in eternity. So, Father, we just ask you to bless them. We pray right now, too, that you would wash away, Lord, just the fatigue and also just this attack from the enemy. We bind the enemy. We also pray, Lord, for fresh vision. Because so often when you come back from, it happens with young life. It happens with Youth for Christ. So many different ministries. You come back into normal existence and you just, the enemy beats you up. So we pray right now, Lord, that you would just impart to them all a fresh sense of vision and hope and what you have for them next, Lord. Amen.